Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. We're a couple months into the new year. We had the old cuffing season before the year, Valentine's Day. Many people find romance, connecting with love interests. Downside of looking for romance is romance scams. This is a criminal business, folks, that continues to grow faster than most corporate profits. So the scam's going to continue. It's going to be here. The reason why we have Emily Holyoke here is today, she's a cybersecurity and an intelligence practitioner with human factor focus. Okay, what does that really mean? Well, she supported romance scams incident response teams, learned from the reformed romance scammers about the scripts, the escalation pattern, how they use trust, persuasion, and exploit your decision-making. She's going to help us understand how this works, how you can help someone you love and care about get through this, understand what's going on without being embarrassed or defensive. So, Emily, I want to welcome you to the show. This is just, you know, I'm going to say outstanding. Many of our listeners have been looking forward to this. And quite frankly, you know what? I've never had somebody on that understands the scripts and can go through the manipulation so people can go, oh my God, that's happening to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is a massive topic, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world. I think everybody is has such a potential to be a victim of romance scams or any kind of fraud or extortion or exploitation. And unfortunately, things like romance scams happen and target our most vulnerable members of society. So I think it's a really big issue, and it's really scary and hard to get through.
Well, it's really interesting because people might have gone through divorce, might have been a little bit lonely because they haven't been with somebody for a while, and they're going, hey, you know what, I want to start doing this. They start doing it online, and the next thing they know, they're investing in something or helping somebody out that they didn't think they would, and you know, they're never getting anything back. My understanding, it's very rarely that they actually find the actual scammers. Is that correct?
Yeah, it can be. And this is a big business in many parts of the world. We touched on earlier about how, yeah, I've actually worked with reformed Nigerian princes, if you call them that, who, not to shame the country, that's literally what he calls himself. But you know, we have a lot of conversations around how exploitation and what we call social engineering happens. And they have farms, their entire business is built off romance scams, and they'll have 20 people going at the exact same time, all with the intention of exploiting funds out of them.
That's wild. And what is it? I heard from somebody, and please verify this or not, but my understanding is they purchase hundreds of phone numbers through a system, and the same person might be dialing you with different 10 or 20 or 30 different phone numbers until you answer.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even a real phone number. There's such things as virtual phone numbers, and you can set them up and never actually even be able to link that phone number back to an individual. I know there's a lot of places, I'm not sure if it's the same in the US, but in Australia, having a phone number is very regulated. You have to have show your ID in order to get a mobile phone number. But in many cases, you don't actually need to do that. And so that's a really easy way for them to get around that. And of course, there's social media profiles and emails. There's so many different ways, or what we call vectors, in order to reach out to someone and strike up a conversation.
Oh, that's nuts. So let's just start with the beginning, and please go into a lot of detail. So, you know what, how do they work in general? So like, could you kind of walk us through the steps and, you know, how they take place and the little details that go along with that?
Yeah. So there's a few steps within the same, what we call tactics or techniques apply across so many different levels and across so many different domains. So funnily enough, what works in computer systems also works with people, because every attack we say begins and ends with a human. And we call these the reconnaissance stages. And what people or these scammers will typically look for is they'll be looking for people who have accessible profiles. Sometimes they're just going through and they're messaging every single person that they can find, and they'll have what we call bots set up and they'll be going through. In other cases, they'll be specifically targeting certain individuals that they can see look like they would be someone that would bite. That's why we call it phishing. And what they'll be doing is they'll be looking for people who look like they're vulnerable. Obviously, personal security and privacy is really important. So having a Facebook profile or an Instagram profile or whatever social media you use is open and people can see what you're posting and who you're talking to, that's really easy bait. Reconnaissance is all about getting to know your victim or your target. The same thing applies in intelligence and statecraft and all the spy stuff. They want to know everything they can about you so that they can figure out which string to pull on.
So what you're saying is they're psychologically profiling you based off what you put on social media, so they actually understand how to talk to you before they even connect.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, we have what's called social engineering. So this is what all of this is. It's called social engineering. And so the first step is obviously finding out as much as you can about a person. And we do this in genuine relationships as well, right? You have a crush on someone and you want to know everything about them. It's like that, but unfortunately a little bit more insidious. So after they go through that reconnaissance and find out what they can about you, whether that be through your social media, if you're a really high value target, then they might go a little bit digging a bit further. Not always, especially not in these really big kind of like farms, if we'll call them that. But definitely in kind of when they're really targeting someone, they'll go and look for more information on them. And then the next thing is that initial bite. Like, hey, I saw this on your profile. That's really interesting. Or it might be, hey, or, you know, commenting on something that you commented on in a public forum and wanting to get to know you that way. And unfortunately, these sorts of scams also work in child grooming as well, which is really unfortunate.
And
it's about building that initial connection and rapport with someone, just like you would out in the street. You'd come across someone and you'd be like, hey, I really love your shirt. Or, hey, I didn't know we go to the same gym. And those sorts of things. It's about building connection and trying to do so in a way that is genuine enough for you to think, all right, this person is the real deal.
So basically it's just everyday conversations that they're utilizing to create a wedge into your life, so to speak.
Yeah. It's as simple as that. And it's designed to look as normal and as natural as possible. And then the next part is about the actual bait and the hook. And this is about sharing something deeply vulnerable or something about themselves, whether that be true or not, in order for you to feel something for them, whether that be, oh, my parent just died, or my child is sick, or I'm going through, you know, XYZ. It's something about making you feel like you're capable of caring for that person and that you can potentially look after them. And often it's just emotional support, and they'll be gauging in this part of the conversation whether you are someone that's going to look after them. And, you know, if you're someone that's going to potentially have the, you know, financial availability or to offer them some kind of financial support, because that's what they're after. If not through ongoing kind of giving them money, or, you know, through potential exploitation and blackmail later on.
So basically what they're already doing, the profile, and they're legitimately looking for somebody who's used to helping and taking care of others, whether it be male, female, it's just the personality trait that they're looking for. So they can manipulate that.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they're looking for. So unfortunately, the people that I've, you know, worked with, that I've seen be scammed the most, are genuinely the most lovely and sweet and beautiful humans who have been so incredibly giving. You know, they're the kind of people who will rock up on Christmas Eve with a big, you know, gift, or somehow remember some special day and show up and be like, hey, I was just thinking of you. These are incredibly genuine and thoughtful people who unfortunately are just seeking connection. And that's what these scammers look for, whether that be someone who cares about animals and talks about animal rights or fostering, or someone who sees and talks about their grandkids a lot online. And you can see that they are a widow or divorced or single, but they're posting a lot about their family, maybe because they don't have access to their family as much. So they're going to be people that are going to be seeking connection elsewhere. And that's what these scammers are looking for. They're looking for people who are lonely, vulnerable, very giving, very supportive. And that's not to say don't be giving and supportive. It's just make sure that you do it for people that you know and have actually met in person.
Oh, man. Okay, this is awesome. I'm almost over my time limit for the first little segment here. So stick with us, folks. We've got Emily Holyoke here. She's talking about the design and structure of a romance scam. So you want to stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I do really want to thank you for tuning in and sharing us with your friends and family. We're talking to Emily Holyoke here. We've been just talking about what the scammers are actually looking for and the profile of the individual they're looking for, whether male or female. They're basically somebody that might be a little lonely, has means, but somebody who really cares about other people, who's genuinely caring about other people. And Emily, I was just thinking about a couple of the people that I know that have been through this and have been taken by it, and they're them to a T. You know, one of them was is an artist, and she's the type that would go, she's the type that would bring a meal to a friend if they were sick. I mean, they find out they're sick. Hey, I just decided to drop by. She's that person. So I'm just like, oh my God, she's the profile. So what's the next step? Here's the other question. When they start talking online and getting connected with you, is that a quick process or is it a slow process for them?
No, it's a business, right? When you try to make a sale, you try to get that sale as quickly as possible. So these people are not going to be messing about. It's very quick. I had some stats at one point, but quite often it's within, you know, a few days, if that, or to a week, where you're already on the hook for some reason. They've already given you the sob story about why it is that they need help or what's going on in their life to make them care for you. Because, yeah, it's a sales game, right?
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be talking about how they have feelings for you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're going to be talking about, wow, you are such an incredible giving person. Oh my God, I loved that picture. You know, they're really trying to hook you in. They're trying to show a lot of interest in you. Maybe not about your concerns. They may not reciprocate as much around if you start talking about things going on in your life, but they're definitely there to like build you up and build up your ego as well so that they can really get you in like, oh my God, this person cares about me. Because they see, oh, how beautiful I am, or how kind I am, or how handsome I am. And then the next step is obviously going in with oh, this is happening in my life. Oh, but you know, you're so great and you're so amazing, and kind of trying to put you almost on like this caring pedestal above them, so mm-hmm. that they're in a way look subservient to you when that's not actually the case at all.
Oh, wow. So basically they're trying to hook you into feeling, the hook is the emotional, or the bait is the emotional connection. The hook is, I need help. And you're telling me this could happen 1 to 3 or 4 days and they're.
Yeah. It's another term we often use is called love bombing. In psychology, when we talk about unhealthy relationships, you know, someone will come on really hard and fast. Oh my God, you know, you're amazing. And it's these almost narcissistic traits that really come on really fast, where someone's going, I've never met anyone like you before in my life. Wow, how are you single? all of these sorts of things. Like, you know, why don't people know about you? It's, there's very much, like I said, like putting this person up or the victim up on a pedestal so that they feel like they are this wonderful, amazing human, which makes taking the bait so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't be all bad if you're telling me I'm great.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So the next step is, how would, you know, they've hooked you. Okay. So how do they ask you for money? How do they ask you to help, and how do they facilitate that?
So this can vary on the tactic and what it is, the weaknesses of that individual. So sometimes it might just be as simple as, you know, it would be really great. You know, we've been talking a lot. You seem like you have the means available, and I wouldn't be taking anything away from you, but like, I have these really big bills to pay. Is there any way that you can just help me out a little bit? And it's things like that. Or it could be, you know, sorry, I don't think we can keep talking because I have to go do this and I don't have the money. But, you know, like, if you want to help me, like, that would be really great. And it's all about, you know, scarcity, right? You've given this person this giant love declaration of you're incredible, you're amazing. And then it's about pulling back. And so that's what the next step is.
So basically, what they're trying to do is love bomb you, affect your decision making, and give you one, the only thing, if you want to continue this, that fear of missing out, you got to help.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So I can see how that persuasion and that really manipulates somebody's decision making. It's like the used car salesman saying, well, we can, you know, it's okay, we'll sell it to somebody else, or that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we are emotional beings. We want love and we want connection, which is the worst part of all, is it's these people with very genuine feelings and emotions that are the ones that are getting done by these kinds of scams. And of course, you know, what's money versus love? I think most of these people go, you know, who cares about the money? I can make money. Money's always going to be there because, you know, they're people that have spent a lot of their time dedicating their lives to the service of others and are often the people that have always been diligent and saving and looking after themselves and preparing for the future and retirement and all of those sorts of things. So they're the people that are going to be affected by these scams, I think. And one of the things that obviously, as you get a bit older and, you know, we all have lives and we move away from our friends, and there comes a point where we all go, oh, look, there's no one around me. And I'm saying that as, you know, someone in their 30s, is you can see how life changes and how you separate from your friends and your family and you become so isolated. And that's exactly what these people are preying on. They are taking advantage of the fact that most people are in a stage of life that they are isolated and they are seeking connection. And so of course that comes with financial means often as well. And they're taking advantage of, you know, those two things.
Okay, so now they got the hook, they asked for money. How do they facilitate the transfer of money?
So it can depend. Sometimes it will be a bank transfer, which is less likely because it ties you to an individual directly. Western Union transfers are really common throughout the world because they are all over the place. There's obviously lots of different types of cash apps that someone will, you know, that are available. There's different ones throughout the world. But essentially, it'll be some form of transaction or, you know, transfer funds that doesn't require the receiver to prove who they are, if that makes sense. So sometimes it does, but more often than not, they don't want to be caught. So it could even be through cryptocurrency. It's something that's coming up more and more because it's becoming more and more accessible. But the focus for them will be on urgency and, you know, amping up that sob story of, oh my God, I need this now. So, you know, asking you to transfer. If a person says, yeah, I'll help you out, they want to do it as quickly as possible.
So they're like same day, next day. Okay, so here we go. They've helped them out once. They've transferred it. You know what, my concern, I'm listening to this, but, you know, I'm a very skeptic person and my wife gets annoyed at me when I cut people off and say, I know this is not true. So if somebody said, you know, send it to me in crypto, I'd be like, bye. But, you know, that or Western Union. I haven't used Western Union since I actually was in your country. So I'm trying to like, so that's one of the things that people need to be pay attention to be aware of. That would be a key indicator that this could be a scam, especially if they are trying to have you send funds to something that can't be traced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, anytime anyone asks you to send them money and it's not your kids or a family member that is an immediate family member, I would just be like, yeah, no, sorry. But I guess a lot of the time, though, I mean, if it is someone that's asking you for money, it's always going to be some way that they can't be tracked. There's, you know, things like different cash apps, even PayPal can be another way that someone will try to seek money out of you. But again, the focus for them is on a way that even if they give you a name and an email address and a phone number, it's not going to be something that needs identification on the other end.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then now with the romance scams, do they typically tell you you're in that same country they are in? Because I would think it would be something like that, or they might not even know.
No, not always. This is especially in child grooming as well. They'll say, oh, I just live around the corner, or hey, we go to the same school, or we live in the same county or district, or anything like that. Sometimes they could be telling you that they live in a completely different country to where they are. I was talking before about the Nigerian prince. They might actually be in Nigeria. They could also say that they're in Germany or the US or Australia. And it's about, and especially with the rise of AI and the ability to create deepfake images, they could create a very plausible profile from any country in the world and tell you they're on the exact opposite side of the world as well. So it just depends on, you know, what vulnerability they're trying to exploit.
Wow. Hey, we're getting back here to Emily Holyoke. This has been something special here about romance scams. Okay, so now we know how they work. They've got the first bit of money. How do they get the second, third, and fourth bit of money?
Well, that's the challenge, right? And this is where it can go one of two ways. Sometimes if they think you're a little bit dicey, not someone that they want to keep going with, and they'll definitely try, you might just be let off the hook after the first. But once they know that you're on the hook for the first time, they're going to keep trying. And they will come down to the same story again. Oh, thank you so much for helping me out. You know, it was so good. I could finally see my grandma again. But I'm going to have to go back next week. And I just don't think I can afford it. And that's how they get you for the second one. They're going to come back with the same story. And if that sob story doesn't work, then they're going to give you another one. Or my dog needs to go to the vet. Or, you know, I have this big bill coming up. Or, you know, my insurance didn't work. And, of course, if you pay once, you're going to pay again.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so like you said, once they've made the sale, it's easier to make a second one.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, yeah. Once the money stops, they're gone. Never see them again. Is that the way it typically mm-hmm. works? Okay.
Yep.
So let's talk about a little variation now. And I expect you've dealt with this. I've come across people who start a relationship with somebody online. And for some reason, that person has a relative that has a business, does investments or whatever. How does that work? How do they trans, you know, I mean, I get it. This is the same thing. They're trying to have the relationship, love bombing and all that stuff, but how do they create that connection? So you've got a third person in the room now, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly the same way. It's all about finding the weakness of the person. So if that person is obviously loving and they're not falling for the sub story, then it's, hey, my cousin has an incredible business opportunity for you. And it's the same spiel all over again. You know, he's doing something that no one has ever done before. This is incredible. Like, look at this market. And this happened long before, you know, the internet. I mean, my own parents fell for a scam back in the 90s and they've both passed. So I'm going to talk about it, but it was much the same thing. It was someone saying, I have this incredible opportunity. Look at what I found. And it was, I think it was a mining opportunity or something like that. I remember I was a really little kid and they got presented with jewels. And it's the same snake oil salesman technique that's been used for thousands of years. It's, I see that you want to make a lot of money because you're working really hard. let me show you how easy it can be. Like multi-level marketing, the pyramid scheme, but it's with one individual on the internet.
I was going to just share one thing. One of the people that I know, she actually told me, she says, you know what? He's got this opportunity where, what is it? I forget what the name of the opportunity was, but it was one of those things where they were able to double their money in 6 months. And I said, you know what? I don't know any investment out there that can actually do that. And before you do anything, you need to call these people, and these people. And she goes, no, it should be fine. And then the next thing, she gave $200,000 out of her IRA. And then there was something about having a large enough balance to begin to withdraw because she wanted to take some money out of it. And she didn't have a large enough balance. So he said, you're going to need to put in another couple $100,000. So we're like at $400,000 here. She took out of her IRA and then it was gone. Everything was just gone. It was just, and I got the call. What do I do? So she actually was unbelievably embarrassed. And actually, she didn't file any reports or police reports or anything until the IRS came back and said, hey, you're going to owe us $250,000 in taxes and back interest and stuff like that because you didn't pay taxes on this. And then she finally went, OK, I need to start telling people about it and file a report and all that stuff. And they got that way. But it was just like, it's nuts. So how does somebody protect themselves if they're getting, you know, they're in the middle of that? Because basically it's sounding to me like they've got this one person that's creating the relationship and the emotional bond. And then they've got this other person who's supposed to be my friend, associate that has this great business. What should people be looking for?
So it's just the same as with a love scam. And I think the best thing the best kind of comparison really is, if it looks better than the stock market, then it's probably too good to be true. Something where, you know, if you can double your money in 6 months, like that is very, very, very rare. And at the same time, I wouldn't even think about considering something like that unless it was someone that I knew really, really, really well. And I'd already seen the success that they personally had, having known them for years. And even then, that's a pretty high risk investment in any case. So they may say, like, oh, you know, I've got this cousin, they've got this great opportunity, you know, let me put you in contact with them. And you'll notice too, is that if, you know, this person may jump on a video call with you once or twice, but you'll never or rarely be able to get both of them at the same time. There'll always be some kind of issue, or their cousin's not available because they're really busy, or, you know, you might get a call with one of them, but there'll always be something. And I think it's really important in any case, regardless of the scam, that you trust your own internal gut instinct, because that's the number one indicator that something isn't right. It's a human reaction. In intelligence, we call it the OODA loop, but it's about, oh, this doesn't feel right. And if it doesn't feel right, it's not butterflies. It's not you being in love. It is someone taking advantage of you. Mm-hmm. And that's not your fault for starters.
That's really good. That's really, really, really good. But you know what? I can see how the need to not be lonely can overpace that gut feeling.
Yeah. So we have what's called our intuition and our ego. And our ego is all about urgency. It's about filling that void. It's the voice in your brain that goes, I'm just going to eat some more chocolate. Versus the part of your brain that says, no, we're going to ruin our dinner. And so that's the two voices that you need to listen to. If it's a sense of, I need to do this right now, I'm really excited, like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever that has ever happened to me. And it's in like, I've got to do this. But there's that little voice that's going, let's just slow down for a second. That's the voice that you want to listen to. And it's the same with any kind of scam. It's any kind of, you know, snake oil salesman. If it sounds too good to be true, even if it's a romance scam, then that's what I would be listening to. It's that little voice that goes, let's slow down.
Okay. So one of the questions that has commonly come up with us or our listeners, which was a lot, it's probably 100 people asked similarly the same question. And it's like, what are the logical things that I need to think about to make sure this is real or not? Like, one, this, two, this, that type of thing.
Yeah. So this is how, unfortunately, child grooming works. And when there are, there's a lot of incredible organizations that go around, they try to find people who are trying to harm children. And they're all about finding out the actual details of the individual that are doing these sorts of things so that they can go and, you know, have law enforcement get involved and prosecute them. But the same sorts of techniques without going and chasing this person down are really good techniques about figuring out whether someone is real or not. And sometimes it can help to go and have a friend help you out and find out whether or not this person is true. There's no harm in saying, hey, does this seem dodgy? And even just having a joke about it is often like a kind of easy way to not feel like you're on the hook or that you've done something wrong. And quite often our, you know, our friends and family are like the best people to kind of help us out. And, you know, they know us as well. They can help us identify the difference between our own egos and intuition. But what you'll be looking for is, can I contact this person? Have I met this person in real life? If the answer is no, have I spoken to this person on the phone, especially on a video call, is another good indicator. Do the facts that they give me line up and make sense? Are they giving you the same story every single time? And you can ask them really subtly, like, tell me about Slas. And if they're pausing when they shouldn't be, or the communication kind of seems a little bit off, that's the kind of things that you would look for. And they're not really that hard to do either. I don't think you need like an intense kind of ability to pick up different forms of, you know, manipulation. You've just got to think about, well, is this a logical kind of flow of conversation or conversation that I would have with a friend or a family member? And if it doesn't make sense, then you can go and think, maybe I should just put the brakes on this.
Okay. No, I think that's wonderful, because I was just thinking about what you said. If you ask a question and they pause and it's not part of the conversation, something's going on there. When you said the script, I immediately thought, okay, they're on a script and this is off script because they're not expecting that. And you did it subtly. So, okay, yeah. Great. Okay, that's good to know. You know what? We got a lot more to go into here in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about helping loved ones, family members, and stuff like that. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Emily Holyoke.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family and associates. I truly appreciate that, but I want to get back to Emily. She's been talking about some great pieces of wisdom here that has helped people, save people. And you know what? The nice thing about it is she's dealt with the former scammers and knows the scripts and understands how they persuade and, I want to say, create toxicity with your own decision-making to take advantage of you. But one of the big things that many people try to do, and I've tried to do with other people, is help somebody. But sometimes those people have been embarrassed, like I talked about with one of the people I know earlier, defensive. In fact, I had one person I was working with told me about a person he started talking with online and had been talking with for a few months. And she had this uncle who was a crypto expert. And all of a sudden, you know, he's on Wall Street and all that kind of stuff. And I said, hey, you know what? That sounds like a romance scam. He goes, well, I'm not dating her, but how long have you been talking to her? Okay. And he talked to her, you know, for 3 or 4 months there. And he told me about this guy. And I said, if he's on Wall Street, why don't you find out what building he's in and see if his name's actually in that building? And I go, did you find out that? He goes, yes, I couldn't find it. And then when he asked, I also said, if you're on Wall Street, you have to have certain licenses to be on Wall Street. So ask him for those licenses. And he said it took a few minutes for them to respond. The person told him, he says, you know, you don't have to have a license to manage crypto. I said, if you're on Wall Street, got to have a license. End of story. He was still considering investing with this guy and all that because of the relationship with her. And I was just like, wow, what does somebody go through that they're that connected or emotionally connected where they tell themselves it's okay? So, you know what, I don't know, because I kind of stopped talking with that person after that, and maybe that person's embarrassed because it did happen to him. But what's the best way to approach this with somebody that might say, hey, is this a little dodgy? Or they tell you about it because they think it's a great opportunity and you should know about it. But then you already know once you hear about it, like, oh, we've got a problem here. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's really hard in any case. Like, you think about catching your kid with their hand in a cookie jar. They're going to go, nope, I didn't do that. And you're like, kid, come on. Your hand is in the jar. Like, there's crumbs all over your face. You're not hiding this from anybody. And unfortunately, I don't think what they're saying, like, I can see it. And they're going to swear blind that, no, that would never happen. Like, that wouldn't be me. I'm smarter than that. And for the most part, we believe that we are smarter than that. We believe that there's no way that we would ever fall victim to that. And this person that we built this connection with, they would never hurt me, even if I've never met them. I don't actually know their real name and would never talked on the phone before. It's the same sorts of things, because we are human. We want connection and we want to believe the best in people as well. And so we're going to be looking for ways in order to, you know, prove that we're right. We're looking for those little breadcrumbs to prove that we're right. But when it comes to, you know that something's kind of going on, our first reaction is to go, you're an idiot. Don't do that. But what it comes to is just kind of going, holding your tongue a little bit and going, tell me more, and seeing what they say.
Okay. So in other words, it's just tell me more. Why, how come? And then you start asking the relationship questions. How long have you known them?
yeah, it is. And it's about having curiosity, because it's the same as what these you're essentially doing what these scammers are doing by building that safety in order for someone to tell you more about what's going on. It's the same with kids. It's like, hey, why did you put your hand in the cookie jar and eat the entire jar full of cookies? And if you were to scold them immediately, they're going to run away and they're going to hide it next time. Whereas if you are, you know, open with grace and you're kind and you're like, just tell me a little bit more about what's going on, then someone's going to be a lot more receptive. It's the same as, you don't call someone out, you call someone in. Instead of, you know, openly humiliating them, you go, hey, what's going on? And from there, seeing if they're willing and receptive to your help.
Mm-hmm. And then so if they're not quite there, how, you know, I've got to ask this question, yeah, because I've had this conversation a couple of times and I say, you know what, here's the number, here's that. How do you get them to connect with the right people who can go, oh, here's what you're dealing with? I mean, authorities, people, yeah, like that.
Yes, it's really hard. And sometimes people are just not willing to change or willing to accept that they're wrong, which is really unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that often it can take someone really hitting kind of rock bottom and seeing that they are the victim of these scams. And sometimes that's not even enough. They fall prey to them again. But if you were to, in my experience of kind of having these interventions with people, it's been about, hey, tell me about what's going on here. Or, you know, if someone says, oh, or in the business case example, it's like you said about, you know, tell me about their credentials, and someone says, oh, they don't need them. And you go, that doesn't seem right. And then just presenting them with the facts, like, hey, you told me about that really great business idea. I'm just not sure because, you know, that person doesn't seem to have the credentials, or, you know, this is a really big investment. I'd like to meet with them in person first, because that's how you do business. And it's not about ever shaming the person, because that's the number one way to have them become offside. But instead about, you know, I guess essentially being in it with them and showing them that they have support, even when stuff is, you know, a little bit embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or before you do something like that, it might be a good idea to discuss it with your financial advisor, your CPA, to make sure you get the right tax advice before you go into something like that. So, it's interesting. Over time, I've had a number of those calls, so to speak, to ask me, what do you, here's what I'm looking to do. You know what, this is great. And I said, you know what, you need to go talk to somebody, because this, almost every time I've said, you know what, I think you need to call the police because I'm not sure it's real. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Call the FTC, call whoever, see, before you do anything, find out. And if it's the business thing, I've never thought of saying, hey, you know what, where's the business plan?
Absolutely. Number one, if it's a good idea, then someone's taken the time to write it out and they've got the perspectives. Even, a really sophisticated scam, they'll still have all of that. Right? They'll still present you with a big glossy flyer. They might even have a website. Mm-hmm. And you can still go and dig for yourself as well. You can go find out, in Australia, we have what's called an Australian business number or Australian company number. You can go and look it up and you can see who owns that company and who owns that company and so on. Often you'll find that there's like bits missing off the website if it doesn't look legitimate as well, where they've just, it's still got that fake text on certain pages where they don't expect people to look. But when it comes to supporting someone who's going through something like this, it's almost like you also have to be kind of incremental in your approach as well. If you're the person who is in this kind of scam type thing as well, and you're a victim to this and you've kind of realized, much like computer networks, we always say never pull out the power plug, just kind of leave it there, isolate it if you can, but never pull out the plug. And the same goes with scammers. Don't go and say, you're a scammer, you're a bad guy, like give me all my money back. Just hold off, go and seek legal advice or advice from a financial planner or from law enforcement, because quite often that information you have, without putting that person offside, is exactly what they need in order to get that person as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say this, most of the time, the scammers are probably not in the country that you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But often it doesn't stop local law enforcement. There's also other methods that they can take as well, such as, blacklisting their domain or phone numbers or using other methods to call them out so that if it ever comes up again, then hopefully there's an intermediary that's able to stop them from reaching people. It's not to say it works, obviously. There's always different ways that people get around that sort of thing, but there's definitely steps that law enforcement can take as well.
And what is the likelihood of anybody getting their money back?
Unfortunately, not high. If the scammer is in the same country as you and they're caught, there's a possibility, but unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get anything back, unfortunately.
So the key is to protect yourself up front, understand, be logical. If you're looking at an investment, share it with somebody that you love and care about so they can give you some honest feedback. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Emily, this has been wonderful. I mean, for me, it's just been a whole bunch of ahas, and I love the detail that you brought about the script so everybody can hear that. I hope whoever listens to it 4 or 5 times just so they can help out the ones they love and care about. Emily, if somebody wants to reach out to you, what would be the best way for somebody to reach out to you?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's called notastandard.org. I'm a security and intelligence company, but I also have what I call the Safe TFA or Tech Facilitated Abuse Framework, which is tfa.notastandard.org, which actually goes through the tactics and techniques people use for things like romance scams, as well as other forms of tech facilitated abuse and grooming and all the different ways that people unfortunately hurt other people. But the intention is to have some really honest, grounded, easy to understand feedback about what to look for and what you can do about it.
This has been wonderful. Thank you for sharing this. You're going to save a lot of people. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us today. Emily Holyoke was just outstanding. She went through the anatomy of the scam for romance scams, how they actually look to scam children. You really want to go take a look at that a couple times. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving the Sea. With that, I wish you all well. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.